Learn as much as you can as fast as you can and set big goals. Don't necessarily have to accomplish them or achieve them, but set them high, because if you do, you're going to be blown away, right? And everybody else will be too, to prove a point. That's what I did.
Welcome to the Media Core Minute Podcast. My name is Josh Langmade, and I own Media Core here in Rochester. We're a video production agency, and I'm joined today by Dalton. Dalton is a 26-year-old entrepreneur, business owner, just finishing your first year in business, clearing over seven figures in revenue, which is just awesome. So stay tuned to hear about his story. And yeah, I'm excited to get into this. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good.
Doing I appreciate good. You having me on. I mean, I'm willing to share my story and
absolutely
hopefully help others too. So
it was, you know, you when I first asked, you're like, yeah, you sure you want to have me on? I'm like, you have such a unique story, just being like first young, but then just your first year in business and seeing, you know, that much success early on. I'm like, absolutely, we got to have you on. And that's the fun thing about the podcast, is we have such a variety of people, but it's still business, entrepreneurship.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, you definitely bring something unique to the table, which
is cool. It's been challenging too, right? Yeah. I mean, first year, the business that I'm in is excavation, right? So, one, it's hard to get into.
Absolutely.
Most people start small with some side jobs and, you know, little stuff, residential.
Because it can be an industry, right, where it takes a long time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it was the funniest thing, because, like, when I first saw you, it was on Instagram, and you have this huge equipment, and you're on this big job site, and I'm like, who is this and where do they come from? I've never seen, you know, I'm active on social media, and I had never seen you guys before. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? So I just hit you up.
I didn't like doing little stuff, right? Yeah. So I learned to do commercial work and road work, and that's was like, you know, if I'm going to do something on my own, this is the way I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So the company is Snow Contracting, right?
Yep. Snow Contracting.
What is Snow Contracting?
Snow Contracting is a excavation company. We do mass grading, underground utilities, road work, site work, land clearing. We'll do a little bit of demolition here and there if it's, you know, looks all right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of how I started off. And the goal was, you know, be a small company, right?
Yep.
Because there is a lot of challenges come with growing, and not. And that's what we wanted to be. My goal was a million. Everybody thought we were crazy for doing that.
First year, $1 million.
Yeah. $1 million. Yeah. That was my goal. And I think it was in the first couple of months, I think we just crushed it.
Yep. Was it kind of like you started, did you just get like a decent sized job, do really well, and then it kind of just...
Pretty much. That's how it was. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I bid, I think, a small water tower project over in St. Charles. You know, it was $100,000. No big deal, right?
No big deal.
Then I moved off. I found a road project right in Byer in my hometown, and that's where I started my company. And, you know, engineers, they get a little nervous at first-year company, not having equipment, not doing whatever.
Yep.
But they let me do it, and it worked out great. We finished it 2 months ahead of schedule with the guys that I had, and... it was only up from there. I just kept bidding and bidding and bidding, and
that's
we
awesome.
Got more work. More guys came through, more equipment, bigger equipment.
So and, did those engineers know you, or was it just like...
There are some that did, for sure, because I've worked with them for the previous company that I worked with.
Let's just take a risk and just see kind of what they can do.
Yep.
And then you just killed the job.
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
That was the plan, right? You got to prove to people that you can get the work done in order to get any further, right? So that's what we did. And they've been pretty happy with us ever since. So
jumping back, before you started the company, you know, obviously you're a young guy. Did you do any college?
I did zero college.
Zero college. Zero. So what happened out of high school then?
Out of high school, I actually worked for a local excavation company for probably about a year.
Yep.
And then I ended up going to work for my dad at a construction sales company.
Yeah.
For a few years. And then I was like, you know, I'd rather go back and do this other stuff. So that's what I did. I went back to the excavation company that I worked with in the past. And then, you know, I just...
Because just from what we've, you and I talking, that was like, what, 5-6 years that you were there?
Yeah, I was there about 5 years, yep.
And is that, you kind of just learned a lot of it just on the job training, you know?
Yeah, I was a laborer, basically. And then, you know, operator, laborer. And then I ended up being the one to do the GPS for grade control for all our machines. And I would do all the design work off computer so I could do all our takeoffs and everything from there. So that was in a short couple of years, really.
Yep.
I took on that responsibility and I got pretty good at it. And I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go off on my own. And that's what I chose to do. And
so when was there like the, you know, I always say there's like the switch that goes off and it was like, what happened? You know, when you're like, okay, this has been great, but I'm like, I got to do something different.
I would probably say in the spring of 2020 is kind of where I was like, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing, but putting in these long hours and everything and not getting anything out of it. You know, I'm not saying the pay wasn't great. It could have been better, right? I mean, everybody wishes they could make more, right? I mean, geez, come on. So I wanted to just take the risk and do it myself, but it took me, you know, all summer and all fall and all spring just to figure it out. So I think it came down to November of 2020 when I said, you know, here we go. This is what we're going to do. I quit, started my own company, and I just went straight to bidding every project that I possibly could or something that I wanted to take interest in.
So what equipment did you start out with, like right off the bat?
Because well,
I've been to your job site. That's where we initially met.
Yeah,
we're chatting. And you're like, when I was like, hey, we should meet, you're like, yeah, absolutely. And you gave me like the job site. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is a job site, not an office.
Yeah.
I go out there and it was. I'm like, I like this dude already.
Yeah.
Before you even pulled up. Because I get excited about, you know, the dirt world stuff and just being out on sites like that.
Well, it's playing in a big sandbox, really. You're just a kid. I mean, that's the fun part about it. Yep. Big piece of equipment.
But
who
you,
doesn't want
you
to
had
do
a
it?
Ton of big equipment.
We know? Do, actually. My goal, I guess I shouldn't say goal, but I was going to rent, basically, for the first year.
So right at the beginning, you were
I'm
going to get a job.
Equipment is expensive, right? So I was just going to rent per job and kind of go from there. But I started picking up these jobs and I was like, it's going to be a lot easier for me just to purchase some right now and kind of go from there. So I started off with a 2019 Cat 320 excavator. I bought a brand new, actually, Cat D3 dozer.
Yep.
Had all the GPS, all the technology in it. Because really with GPS, it's easier and it's faster. You don't have to have a labor stand and check your grade. So just by going out there and being able to push without having to worry where your elevations are or anything, you save so much money too. So that's what we did. And then I bought a Cat 259 skid loader as well.
In that order?
Well, all at the same time, basically.
All at the same time.
So right off the bat, I think we spent, what, $650,000.
Because
it was all brand new stuff.
Yeah.
From there, we, like I said, got a little bit bigger. So we bought a 336 excavator, brand new one with grade control on that one as well. A 349 and a D6T.
Yep.
And then we actually bought another skid loader, a couple rollers, and yeah. We
just
three trucks, going. Trailers.
So how did it go working with the bank on the financing end? Like,
well, that's the struggle part.
You walk in, you're like, hey, this is a lot of extremely expensive equipment.
Right.
I'm just starting. How'd they just give you a lot of that, you know, capital to do it?
Basically, you gotta, it's all in belief, really. Trying to get them to believe that you can get it done. If you're not, you're losing everything, basically.
I mean, they're taking a calculated risk.
Oh, yeah. Huge risk, especially for a first-year company and trying to get this large, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's where part of me says, did we bite off more than we can chew? Probably. But at the same time, I know we can do the work.
Right.
I got great guys that can do the work. And if I get the right equipment, we can do the work and we can get it done on time, on budget. Mm-hmm. And that means you guys get paid, too.
Yep.
I can pay the bank back whatever they need and just keep pushing.
So that's another good point, employee-wise. What did you... what'd you start with? Was it like just you or did you have, again,
it was,
you bought your equipment and then you had a few guys join right away or?
Yeah, it was just me at the beginning. I actually talked to one of the guys I worked with at the previous company and, to see if he'd be interested. And he said he was, and depending on the work that I had, he ended up joining.
Nice.
And, we found another guy that was willing to be a laborer for us.
Yep.
And again, we were going to be 3-4 man crew doing $1 million. And I think now we're 8 million or 8 people and $3 million.
Yep.
So again, more people heard about us and wanted to come aboard. And they're actually, some of them have pretty good experience and potential to be really good too.
So after those first couple guys, people just started reaching out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, guys are, you know, I mean, it's probably a tight knit group in the industry where like you kind of know what's going on with who and like what company.
It really is. I mean, you could be at any company. Oh, you hear Snow Contracting, or did you hear about this other company? Yeah, it is.
So they hear good things and then they start reaching out. Hey, you know, you're hiring kind of thing.
Yep. I mean, the other thing too is we're a full union company. We're local 49ers, local 405. So we're operator and labor's unions. And being able to touch base with those guys to get more people, and they'll send you some pretty good guys too, right? So it only helps your company really grow at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, more efficiency, the better quality work too. And they get the training and they know how to do the stuff right away.
Yep.
You know, so it saves me time not having to train right away, and they can just get in there, get the work done, and away we go.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, you know, how does your kind of like your age, you think, play into even being one of those things that helps the company, you know, grow quicker?
I'd have to say, I mean, my drive is part of it, right? I mean, being 26, I want nothing more than to be successful.
Yep.
I mean, I got a long ways to go. So seeing my company here in the next 50, 60 years would be incredible. And then for some of my kids to take on from there. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it'd be sweet, right?
Yeah.
That's everything to me. But I also don't want to fail, because then what happens? I lose it all. And then I feel bad for all the guys that I have. They're out of jobs, right?
I was talking to somebody else about that too. It's like when you get employees, you know, you have that, you know, due diligence and responsibility of someone else's livelihood mm-hmm. that you're like taking care of. And that's
right.
You know, it's all, I mean, it's additional pressure, but it's like, it's also a driving force too that keeps
correct.
Going.
I mean, like you said, I got eight other guys. So that's eight other families that I have to feed, whether it's one or four or five or six. I mean, there's that many more people I have to take care of, right? So making sure I have the work to keep them going is the really what needs to be done.
Yep. So, you know, you have you do have a wife and kids, right?
Yep, I got a wife and two little girls.
Right on. And they come out on the job site?
My 2-year-old for sure. She loves it. Her favorite thing is probably riding around the dozer.
That's awesome.
She'll fall asleep. I mean, I think it was first year. Our first couple of months, she came out there with me and doing a road project, pushing out rock, and she just fell asleep. You know, that's amazing. And then every time we see our drive-by equipment, she's screaming tractor, 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 right? So we have to stop and go check it out.
That's great.
Whatnot. But yeah, she loves it. So the youngest one, she's just about to turn 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she can get into it here pretty quick too.
Same thing.
Go from there.
So how do you think that's, because I want to get into a little bit about like the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a big endeavor and you have to have, you know, a pretty strong driving force. Like, what do you think motivates you? And that, you know, obviously there's multiple things, but like what really gets you up and pushes every single day?
One, I'd say family for sure. Again, I took a lot this year. I mean, I had a kid beginning of the year. So when I quit my job and started everything in November of 2020 and had my second kid in January of 2021, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody, right?
Yeah.
We had two under two, and I told my wife, I was like, hey, it's going to be a struggle here for the first couple of years. But I mean, in the future, if I work this hard, we will have something pretty good here.
Yep.
You know, so it's that. And then on top of that, being successful. I want to be successful. That's means the world to me. I mean, family and successful is what I want.
So growing up, I mean, do you think that's like a mindset thing, or like where does that just hunger for success come from?
Yeah, I would say it's that for sure. Growing up, I mean, when I was little, all I wanted to do was, you know, be a football player, a basketball player, and I would practice and practice. But really, when it comes to be realistic, when you get older, well, that's not it. So what can you do to be that basically in your own profession that you enjoy doing?
Yep.
And this is where I'm at. So if I can work just as hard as what I used to, then we should be okay. Because this is what I enjoy doing. I mean, if you can find something you enjoy doing or are passionate about, there's your motivation right there.
Did you then grow up in the area?
Yeah, I grew up in Byron.
Okay.
Yep. I graduated in 2013. My dad was construction sales for since I was born, basically, if not before. My mom worked at Mayo, and then she worked at the Byron Middle School for a while. And,
So part of you know, starting a company like this, you know, and where it differs, you know, a lot for me, you know, when I started, and we're the same age, there was risk in the sense that, like, hey, you're starting from scratch. But there wasn't as much of like a, hey, I'm taking out, you know, $1 million loan and stuff like that. Equipment. You know, I kind of built that up slowly, and you're just like, you know, right here, we got to go all in. We need this stuff. How did you just think about risk? You know, how did you process it? How did you go, I'm okay with taking this much risk on?
Well, again, it goes back to how much work I really want to take on, how big I want it to. I mean, when I first bought that skid loader, you know, $60,000, I was like, holy buckets. I mean, that's a lot of money, you know, and then you go and buy the dozer. There's $250,000. Same with the excavator, another $250,000.
But I mean, when you're signing on the line for these things, like, it's what's
scary
going through your head?
For sure. I mean, I get worried about, like, okay, is this really worth it right now? Do we need to do this? But really, you have to. How else do you get the work done? You could rent it, like I said, but your costs are so much higher. You know, you buy it and your costs are that much cheaper and you can make that much more money on your projects. You can pay it off faster. And then you can go for bigger projects and do the same thing. Just keep going.
Do you think it gets easier as you go? Like, you know, you said you started out with, you know, three big pieces of equipment. You have obviously more now. Did it go like, okay, the first three, this was like really scary and like, but now that stuff's going, and then you, I mean, what you've learned about business and just, you know, everything.
To be honest, it's scary every time.
Is it? Yeah.
It's the bigger piece of equipment, the bigger dollar amount it is. You know, it's like, holy crap, this is just, this is a lot. I mean, that 336 when we bought it brand new was, I think, $400,000.
That's crazy.
Right? So it's like, are we going to be able to stay in business this long? I mean, it's been the first year. How do we know there's going to be a year two or a year three? You know, but yeah. And then again, three trucks. I mean, you spend another $300,000 on trucks.
It's like,
I look at the overhead we got.
How did the wife, like,
I try to keep her out of it as much as possible. You know, she's a warrior, but, you know, I try to keep her included too. Just without the dollar amount. Hey, we bought this, leave it at that. Go from there. Right.
So I got this. That's awesome. Cause I mean, that's, obviously risk is, I keep hearing like the entrepreneur versus like the, I think it's entrepreneur. And I could be totally wrong here, but like, I thought the entrepreneur does kind of the same thing, but it's inside of a company that's already like started. So there's like the less, you know, risk, but like you still, you know, build it and you still, you know, do all this stuff. Similar, but like you don't take that initial risk or whatever. And there's really something to be said about just fully jumping off the deep end and going, I got to do this, both feet in, and there's no other way.
That's basically how it was. I jumped right into it and went, I don't know everything of what I'm doing in my industry for sure, So again, 26, I learned stuff every day.
Every day.
Building a company to the size that we are, never ran a company before, so I'm learning every day again, you know, just based off of that, plus being out in the field and help my guys, still learning.
What has been some of like the, because obviously the struggles, and I want to kind of touch on that. It's like, where, just in business in general, you know, like, yes, you had done the excavation work and the construction and stuff like that. But you probably hadn't done all the business stuff. So like, where has the struggles come in just over this entire year? And then how have you overcome that stuff?
I got some pretty good mentors, I'd have to say. Again, YouTube University is the college that I took, So it helps out. But again, mentors too. I got a good accounting department that helps me out with making sure this is where we need to be at. This is what we have. Surrounding yourself with other good people too, So, I got some family friends that actually own their own companies as well. And they're very, very successful. So being able to learn from them on how to do some of this stuff, not necessarily in my industry, right. but just running a company in
just
general.
Advice on yeah. different things.
I mean, that's what I needed. I mean, again, it goes back to leadership too. I've never ran a company. So how do I manage this? How can I be a good leader to help my guys achieve the goals that we want to and bring more people in? How do we get more people to come in that want to enjoy it just as much as I do? All the guys I have right now, when I hired them, I said, you know, this isn't just my company. It's your company too. It might have my name on here, but you guys get the work done for me. I just get you the work. Mm-hmm. I provide whatever I can for you to get the work done. And, yeah, that's kind of how we went about it. And like I said, more people came through and enjoy it. Yep. And I don't have one guy that has anything bad to say about it for sure.
It's exciting when your employees get to make it their own.
Yeah.
And that also has like the element of like them taking pride in their work.
Correct.
And just doing a better job in general because you're giving them that opportunity, you know, to kind of prove themselves and like, hey, like now you're doing it.
Correct.
And, you know, you can keep...
And like I told them too is, yeah, you know, going back to your company, my company and all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, if you make a mistake, that just doesn't affect myself. It affects you too, right? Mm-hmm. If you make a mistake, I'm fine with it because at least you learn for next time. You know, you might spend money now, but in the future, now we know right. and we can only build off of that.
And there's a lot of those
oh, there learning is. It at is. The beginning. I mean, I've made plenty of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make mistakes in order to learn. You don't know everything. You can't mm-hmm. be perfect. So... Everybody's doing really good this year. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. And I know next year could be a great year too. So
if how many, and you have 8 guys right now,
8 guys,
what do you want to get to by the end of next year?
End of next year? I'd like to double it for sure. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Ultimately it'll probably be 10, 12 total. Yep. But that's where we're at. I mean, I set goals for next year. I always set high goals because yeah, you might not get them, but you have to set high goals in order to achieve anything. So if like next year, my goal is 7 million, mm-hmm. that's 2.5 times larger than what we did this year.
Yep.
So,
how do you do your goal setting? Because part of business in general and like owning a business or running it or, you know, running your department or whatever it is people don't always think big enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you don't set your goals high enough, but you can also do that too far and be unrealistic.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you don't have like a plan in place
right.
that you can execute. So how do you,
I set two different things. Setting? My goal, obviously I got my highest goals and I got my plan for next year. So 3 million this year. Great. But if say I don't hire any more people, $5 million is probably where we're going to be at. Mm-hmm. I had almost $1.5 to $2 million rated the last 3 or 4 months of the year. That's a big number. So if I just even it out throughout the whole year, I think $5 million is kind of where we're going to be at. Mm-hmm. But if I really want to push my guys or get a few more, then 7 million is where I want to be.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the dollar amount I always look at. It's right. just the projects. I can go for bigger projects. I like working on bigger projects. Mm-hmm. And that comes with a bigger dollar amount, but also comes with a bigger cost too.
Yeah.
Right?
More crew, more equipment.
So, that's what you go back to the bank part, you know?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I just picked up this
hey.
Job, you know, I'm going to need yeah. more money. I'm going to yeah. need this equipment, you know, here we are. So, and this is my expected profit, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the business that I'm in, profit margins, they're tight.
Yeah.
They always have been and always probably will be, you know, but.
How's that like process go? I mean, do people. Like the companies just like send out, you know, bids or RFPs or something like that. And, you know, people throw in their,
yep.
throw their hat into the you know. And
pretty much. I mean, they got some estimate or bidding softwares out there too. Like the Quest is a good one. Mm-hmm. They have all of like public work. So your state jobs, county, city, stuff like yep. that.
How much goes into like relationships though?
Give or take. Yeah. I mean, it is.
Because it's still a dollar amount and it's still a budget that they're trying to
correct.
Stay within. And
correct. For sure.
So it's like, hey.
That more plays with the general contractors than it does with like city and county projects, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The general contractors, you know, they, I don't want to say it, but they have favorites. I mean, they do, yep. right? So if I'm a little bit lower or a little bit higher, they're going to take who they like more sometimes. It right. all depends on the price, right? So if I'm a new company, and that's what I struggled with too this year, is being a new company and going for the projects that I did, they didn't want to take the risk.
Right.
And now I'm trying to prove that a little bit by going back to them and saying, hey, these are the projects I did. So hopefully next year it kind of plays in my favor a little bit, that if I'm low, then just take the risk and try to give it, you know, let me do it. If I fail, it's on me. Mm-hmm. Right. So I know I ran into that once this year on a subdivision project, and I think they didn't like it because I was a little too low.
Yep.
But they got to remember, I'm a first year company. I don't have the overhead that some of these companies exactly. charge. If I know I'm making a profit, or if I come out negative, yep. that's my problem. So just let me do it. Right. So I got to learn. And sometimes it's losing money is the hardest way.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting concept though. Like coming in too low to where that's like, you know, we don't think you can handle it because it's too low. I remember, because like as you build a company, your prices go up,
mm-hmm.
your overhead goes up, your equipment gets more expensive.
Yeah,
you get better and better at it, and everything just grows. So like your prices typically go up, and I remember being a year or two into doing MediaCorp here in video, and it was like the first project where I bid and I came in too low than like what they felt comfortable
mm-hmm.
doing. I'm like, what? Like too low? That's new. And
yeah, you normally don't have people that'll say that, right?
Right.
Well, and we're just gonna take him.
Yeah.
You know.
So whatever. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you know, we'll try it out and like whatever. But like, it was it kind of opened my brain up, and I'm like, oh, like this is interesting that you can come in too low and look unprofessional. Or like you couldn't handle a deal because they've been used to paying X.
Right.
So now they're like, well, why is he so low? Like, what's he can't do it then.
You know, right. Like,
so that was an interesting kind of realization that I found, and, you know, that you brought it up just kind of reminded me of that.
Right. But at the same time, you got to think, fine, I'll raise my prices. I don't care. I'll just take that money.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I got other things I can buy.
Yep.
You know, so.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's just, yeah, extra profit. That,
exactly.
That you can continue right. building with.
I'm not going to say no to money. I love money. So yep. that's how you build your company, is money.
Absolutely.
Right?
Do you reinvest most profits back in, especially being this?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything actually goes back. I'm part of the union too, so I take a wage, but I'll throw it right back in there because that's, I want to see this.
It's kind of something you have to do at the beginning, and for quite a while even. It's just like if you're in a growth stage, you're reinvesting so much money back into whatever you're doing.
Right.
You know, be it equipment, people, you know, marketing.
Right.
Video.
Yeah.
But no, I totally get that. How does culture play into your company?
Culture, I would say, plays a big factor. You have to have people that want to come enjoy working with you, enjoy what they do. So then it doesn't feel like a job anymore.
Yep.
You know, and that was all part of it too, because where I worked previously, it was just like, oh my, I don't want to come back. You know, geez, you work 7 days out of
Monday.
The week. Right. You know, so most of my guys, they have their weekends off. We'll work an occasional Saturday here and there. But for the most part, we'll work long hours and during the week and then call it from there. But I tend to let them just take over whatever they need to do and get it done. And if they get it done, great. But if they don't, what can we do the next day to get that extra amount done that we didn't get done the previous day, right? So, but again, it goes back to, you know, not my company, it's your company. That's how you got to treat it. That's how I think most people should treat it.
Yep.
You know, because they don't want to take the risk. I'm taking the risk. But if you treat it like your company, you're only going to work that twice as hard to see it go to the next level, right? And if you start early, you guys could be, you know, where you want to be. You could be a project manager. You could be a foreman or superintendent or an estimator or however it goes, right?
Yep.
Work up the ladder and kind of go from there. And that's what I tell them. You know, I'm straight with them. This is where I see you in a few years, whether it comes true or not, or if you're with us or you're not. But treating people how they should be treated is huge. So I try not to tell them too much, but at the same time, I give them every piece of information in my company so they know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
If we're not doing good, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
If we're doing great, I'll tell you. You know, I mean, if you want to see the numbers, here you go. This is where we're at. Yeah. So.
No, that's, yeah.
We're all owners in it, to be honest with you. That's how I like to look at it.
Yep.
Granted, I'm taking the biggest risk, but they're the ones getting the work done for me.
That's, I mean, yeah, like the whole idea of you're working for your employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about that actually on our last podcast too. And just the time that you're spending and building this company around them,
yeah,
and also yourself, that, because at the end of the day, if you want people that are going to last and do a great job, they have to have that sense of ownership or pride, you know, so it's right. Not just, hey, clock in, clock out, do your thing. And
right, exactly.
I
want you to come here and enjoy it. That's all I want. I mean, if we don't do well, but you enjoyed it, mm-hmm, fine and dandy. But at the same time, again, I like money, so I want to make money so we can keep going.
Yeah.
Like, bring more people in who want to enjoy coming here.
So did
keep going.
Did you get to, and this is kind of how I really saw culture, was like, I've worked for, I don't know how many people, but kind of before I started this, and there was really good things, and there was like things I didn't like. And I felt when I was starting a company, I'm like, I want to take I want to take the best parts of that. And like, these are the things that I think they really lacked on.
Exactly, you know, what I did.
And just
exactly.
Like, take the best parts. And
that's exactly
like that.
What I did. But again, it doesn't always work that way. Eventually, yep, you're going to come to that time where it's like, okay, now I'm back to that old way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But however you can do to change that. Again, I've never had to lead a team like this.
Yep.
Never had to. So I rely on my guys to tell me, how can I help you guys more? How can I be a better leader or manage you better? Because I don't want you guys to regret coming to Snow Contracting, right? I want you to come in here and build it with me. That's the whole thing. I mean, if we can keep growing, have more people come in, more experienced people or younger guys that are basically the future,
mm-hmm,
let's try to work on it, because that's what I want to do. Now, a lot of guys that I have, some don't want me on the job, some do, mm-hmm, you know, because I can be, you know, pretty hard at you every once in a while.
Right.
But again, it's coming back to the risk, right?
Like, you still have to make sure that it...
Right. I want
to
be the one looking at it half the time, right? Making sure it's at least done the right way, or my way that I think is the right way.
That happens a lot.
It does.
Like, hey, you know, I'm trusting you to do this. And they're like, hey, like, trust me, I got this.
But then
you're still like, you know, what's going on?
Right,
like,
exactly.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still
my
name.
You want to switch spots? I'll come out here. You do my job. You can't say anything like that, you know? I mean, people would be just pissed if that happened. So, but again, it's hiring the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've hired a good group of guys to bring us to that next level for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is, I feel like the other advantage that you have is, just being younger is a better grasp maybe on the digital side of like marketing and like how you do things or how you represent your company. How does marketing and like digital advertising and social, how does that play into what you're doing?
I mean, social media is huge, right? I mean, everybody's looking at social media these days. I mean, I'm getting projects based off of social media, you know, or I'm talking to large companies just based off of social media.
Right.
I don't even have to go to talk to you. You can just contact me on here. I mean, that's great. Or the website. My website's nothing special, right? But they notice and they're like, oh, for first year, you got a website and it looks, you know, half decent. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Right. But social media has been huge. I don't use it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I try to. I'm trying to get better at it.
Do you manage your own account?
I do. Yeah. My wife actually takes the Facebook stuff because I don't enjoy doing anything with that. But I'll do the Instagram and stuff like that. But, you know, posting something that we do, people notice that. I'm like, oh, these guys can do it. You know, they got no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But again, from social media, you only see the good parts, right? You never see the bad half the time. I try to every once in a while post what we got going on that could be good or bad.
Yep.
If it's bad, people got to know, right? You know, it's not necessarily our fault, but this is what we run into, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we just had something happen in Byron the other day. You should have been up there. That thing, whoever installed it previously, the water main just popped right off when we hooked onto it. And 8-inch water main, that's a lot of water, and there's a lot of pressure. I think there's, 80, 90 pounds of pressure.
Oh, man.
And I told my guys, book it, and they did. And that hole was probably, I don't know, 10 feet deep, I don't know, 40 feet wide maybe, and it was full within seconds, you know. So that's the stuff we got to deal with every once in a while.
How do you
know. Well, we ended up shutting off all the water and pumping it all out, but we had a 6-inch pump, a 3-inch pump, and a 2-inch pump, and it probably ran for 2-3 hours pumping all that water out.
That's crazy.
You know, so, and then the next day you come back because, of course, it happens at 5-6 o'clock, you know, and it's pitch black outside. Freezing. So you don't really want to, yeah, it's cold. So next morning I came back, we fixed it the right way. And, you know, the city Byron looked over us and they wanted us to fix it. So we did. And they were pretty appreciative for that. So we, like I said, we want to come in there and do it the right way.
Right.
That means the world to me because that's your reputation right there. And then to go back to your social media, if you're posting that you're doing it the right way, how people want to see you doing it, they'll take you in instantly. Mm-hmm. So
there's a, I like what you said too, like showing the good and the bad, because there is an element of transparency within social media that as much of you can show that, hey, this is who we are and there are goods, there are bads, right, and there are things, like at least they're like fully seeing you, your personality, your company, your guys, their attitudes.
Yeah, you can't predict everything. Mm-hmm. Stuff just happens. I mean, whether it's good or bad, like you said. Yep. So if it's something that's bad, it's not necessarily our fault. It just happens.
Right.
I mean, nothing works out perfectly. So
how do you plan to use social just moving on in like the future, that just in ways that can benefit your company?
Well, hopefully a video from you here pretty quickly next year.
Yeah.
Get a good project going, have you out there and going from there, because people watch videos, even 30-second video, a minute video, 2-minute video. They'll sit there and watch it, right? So, and the following too. You know, I've grew my followers. We don't have a lot by any means, but I really didn't start posting until this fall. Mm-hmm. And we've grown quite a bit, and people have contacted us through there. So if I just keep posting, and
it's fun to see it work.
It does. It is.
It's fun when you get on and you're doing stuff and it's like, oh, wow, like this actually works.
Right.
Because you're more motivated to do it more.
Right. We've actually had, we did a recon or a reconstruction project in Manorville earlier this year. And we've had some problems over there, don't get me wrong, because you never know with a reconstruction.
Yeah.
You know, digging up water lines and sewer lines, you never know. So, but the neighborhood that we were in, they were actually pretty appreciative. They even went on our Facebook and commented that it's a great company to work with.
Wow.
On most reconstruction projects, you're not really allowed in your driveway whatsoever because you got, you know, trenches running through the road, everything. Mm-hmm. I think that we did for about, I think we were working out for all of 3 weeks on that little neighborhood for underground utilities, and there was all but 2 days everybody got in their driveways.
Wow.
So we liked that, and, you know, being able to help everybody is kind of what we want. So
it's little things that mm-hmm. build up to a good reputation.
Correct. Yep.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The video thing, I just, to your point on that, like we get excited, with things like that, because especially early on, you know, if established companies that have been around for a long time, it might be different how they get their work, you know, because it's again, based off name, reputation, relationships, yeah, past experience, things like that. But like to see, you know, a project get done video wise and really show what, you know, what you're capable of, who you guys are, and then to see like that get put to work.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun for me because again, we try to like work with people long term. And it's like, okay, sweet. You know, now I know a ton about Dalton, his company.
Right.
And we can help in different strategic ways,
right,
using the tools that we have.
Well, and just for me, I can put the video on my website. A lot of these larger companies take a look at your website right away to see what work you actually can do.
Right.
So by having a video out there for every project that we do, or even the larger ones, they're like, oh, okay, we're capable, or they are capable of doing a project of this size or up to this size.
Yep.
So
there's an element too that's like video can make you look, you know, a certain way. And like, you know, we try to keep that true to who you are. But also, like, you know, video is going to make you look like a company that's doing 100 million.
Correct.
And it's just like,
well, right.
Know,
that's all.
You go on the website, right, you look at both, you're like, okay, like, I mean, this $100 million company or plus, they did a company story video. But like the quality and the size, it looks similar to this one.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that to me, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, it is.
We can show that. That stuff. But no, I like that you're using social, and that's even how I came across your page. Cause that's one of the things that we do. I'm like, how can we stay up on what's going on?
Right.
New companies, things like that. And social media is such a great way to do that. Cause you just, everybody's on it.
Right.
And, you know, early on, there's a lot of education that we had to do because companies were like, you know, people aren't on it or the business owners aren't on it. And like, right. you'd be surprised how many really established companies and owners are on it 3 right. a.m. in the morning, just scrolling in their bed. Right. And it's like, you don't think that.
Well, right. Exactly. That's me, right? Yeah. I mean, again, in first year, you have to do it. You're going to be up 24/7. I mean, grinding it out, figuring everything out. It's a hustle. I mean, you got to keep going. How can I keep going? What do I need to do next to keep going? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it is. It's keep pushing, keep going, and it'll sky's the limit from there, right? Yep. Like you said, $100 million. That would be, you know, that's a huge goal of ours, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully in a few years we can get there. You know, that 10-year plan and $100 million. Mm-hmm. Love to do it. You know, that's might be a stretch, but again, I've set high goals before and we've achieved them, right? So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah. Just speaking on like the future, where is, you know, Snow Contracting going? Just even like in the next 2-3 years, you know, it's hard to say 10 years
bigger.
being a, you know, a year in or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, are there specific goals that you want to hit or jobs that you want to be doing more of, or
yeah, like I said,
areas that you want to be in
again next year, 7 million, right? That's mm-hmm. that's the goal with, you know, 12 people. We'll get it. We'll have to see. Right now, crossing our fingers and hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
But with that, it's puts a lot of strain on guys too. I mean, this year put a lot of strain on us too. I'm tired. My guys are tired. Yeah. But I would say in the next couple of years, right now we're in Southeast Minnesota or within a couple hour radius of Rochester. Next year, I'd like to push that a little bit, maybe 3-4 hours. And then 5 year, I'd say Midwest, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And then 10 year is nationwide.
There you go.
That's my goal.
Is it an industry where like you can really go nationwide?
Oh yeah.
Like even if you were still based in the Midwest, can you be going out to?
Yeah, for sure. I want to get those bigger highway projects.
Yeah.
That's what I like doing, bridge projects. Never done them, but I'm willing to try. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got guys interested in doing it, but I can't afford it right now because bridges, I mean, those are huge.
Yeah.
But they're pretty interesting how they get put together. I mean, three guys is all it really takes to do a bridge. That's and crazy. I was just like, whoa, three guys? That's all you need? Yeah. I mean, come on. So, but I want to, you know, diversify a little bit, if that's the right word. I want to get other areas, you know. I wouldn't mind doing a little bit of concrete, you know, or something else. You know, GPS work is kind of what we're in right now. I actually purchased an estimating or takeoff software where I can do all my CAD drawings and stuff like that. So I've been going around to some of these smaller companies and saying, hey, if you need help with some takeoffs, I'm willing to do for you. You know, I get it. You're working with a competitor, but I'm not here to steal your work. I'm just trying to build my company, I guess.
Yep.
Right. So I want nothing to do with yours. I'll find my own work because really I just want to do the governmental work, as in roads, city project, county project, state project, stuff like that. And, you know, all that other stuff. I mean, look at Ames. They're huge. Mm. You know, I don't want to be that size. I don't have any interest in that because that's too big for me.
Yeah.
Now, would it be cool if I did? Yeah, for sure.
Say you own that.
I mean, come on. But at the same time, I want to be fully invested in my company. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on. So by doing that, that's where we're at.
That's a good thing to hit on, I guess, is like the involvement in your company, because, you know, some people like, is there ever like a, hey, at this time, you know, I hope that this thing is running like a machine, you know, and I'm less day to day kind of thing.
No. And see, I want to be in it day to day, you know, there's this guy out of Colorado. I've actually been in contact with him once or twice and he's 70 years old and he doesn't even have an office. He works out in the field with his guys while he has got office people to take care of the rest. You know, I think Elon Musk said, hire, you know, people who do 80% of the work and you do the other 20% rather than the other way around. Cause that's not how it should be. Right. That's why you hire good people around you or surround yourself with good people. So that's what I want. I want to be the older guy working on the field and showing that, yeah, I'm the owner, but I'm willing to do the same work that you guys are doing.
Yep.
You know, that's only fair. Right.
So, well, how motivating is that to,
right.
to people that,
right.
you know, lead by example, you know.
Well, and how motivating can it be, too, if you're a 70-year-old guy out there working harder than a 20-year-old, right? I mean, and I've seen that plenty of times, too. I got a couple of guys that are high 40s, low 50s that they work a lot harder than some of the other guys that I have, right? So
I worked Heard of Camp Victory?
Oh, yeah.
I worked out there for a year doing just as like a maintenance director. And over the summer period, I had a group of, probably six guys under me. And there's always this, there's the same guy that comes and volunteers, you know, every year, husband and wife. And, you know, he's got to be into his 70s easily. And he's just, he's out grinding all day long and like, you know, doing manual labor stuff. And
yeah.
And I'm showing these guys, I'm like, you're letting this guy out working.
Right.
Now. It's like, you know, what's going on here? But it is, it's like a motivating factor to go, this is, you know, true work ethic.
Right.
You know, and right. the whole lead by example is like.
But again, look at the generation we're in too. You know, yeah. We have a lot of young guys that don't want to do the hard work anymore.
Right.
They expect just to be in a piece of equipment or doing whatever and calling it good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You got to know how to do the stuff in the trench or
yep.
do the dirty work first, and then you move up from there.
And you appreciate it more.
Correct.
When you,
for sure.
When you get to move up.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just, hey, we're going to stick you here.
Yep.
Or, hey, you moved up and you've done really well, and now you get to be here.
Right.
You appreciate it, and you understand and know it. But,
correct. Yeah. Well, it's a safety thing too, right?
Yeah.
You got to learn that stuff. I mean, you have to. I mean, there's somebody's life down in that hole, technically.
Yep.
If you don't have a trench box, or if you're not benching it correctly, or if you just drop something from your bucket, or however it works, you know, there's somebody's life down there that you have to protect at all costs because they got a family at home.
Mm-hmm.
So we press pretty hard on the safety thing too. So
it is an industry where, you know, obviously with what we do, there's less like a safety hazard,
yeah.
you know, tripping over cords and over
right.
things like that. Like, but yeah, in construction, I mean, there's a lot of safety things that you have to,
yeah.
protocols and training and,
yeah.
and things that you have to be aware of.
Yep.
What kind of things have you had to learn yourself since, you know, starting and now operating a company? Like, what have been like some of the main things that like you had to learn?
Basically, like I said, starting at nothing and kind of going from there. I mean, mm-hmm. I've learned how to put in pipe, learned all my grading, learned how to run equipment, and then take off. So estimating, I mean, if I didn't know how to estimate, I wouldn't be where I am today, right? Right? I mean, for all you know, we could be negative $3 million rather than positive $3 million. Not that that would happen, but
nope.
You got to know your costs, right? So knowing how much time and labor and everything goes into a project of whatever size we're doing, you have to know that. So luckily I took the few years and kind of learned how to do that and kind of eventually just went on my own and did it, right? So
are you and especially like learning on that front end, learn it now, do it correctly.
Correct.
You
right.
know, so you're not paying for it later.
Right, exactly. I play a huge part in that. I tell my guys that all the time because I hate redos. I hate going back to fix things.
That's the worst thing, is
right.
You have to
like I said,
fix it.
People make mistakes. I get it. But if it's something we could have avoided, I mean, come on, let's just do it the right way the first time. If it takes 5 extra seconds, just do it. Or 15 minutes, just do it. Because now we have to spend 2 hours just to dig it back up again and do it the right way and then whatever else. So
that's
it's time and money. With the margins that we have being so tight, you have to do everything right the first time, right?
Room for error, yeah.
Right. So, like I said, there are ways you can cheat, right? I mean, civil engineers will tell you the same thing. You can get away with certain things, but at the same time, you don't want to either because it's going to bite you in the ass eventually,
yep.
right? So we try to do everything the right way. Again, that plays a factor in your reputation, doing it the right way the
Absolutely.
First time. So.
So a lot of people that listen, you know, are in business, entrepreneurship, you know, there's a lot of people, yeah, just different areas in their journey. But from someone that's, you know, pretty early on, what advice would you give someone that is maybe in a similar position or on the ledge, but they haven't jumped in yet and they've wanted to,
yeah.
you know, what would you tell that kind of person?
Learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, and set big goals. Don't necessarily have to accomplish them or achieve them, but set them high, because if you do, you're going to be blown away, right? And everybody else will be too, to prove a point. That's what I did. But I would say learn as much as you can before you go off and do it, because again, I don't know nothing about the business side of it. Luckily I have mentors that'll help me out, but if you have mentors, great. But if you don't, you got a long road ahead of you for sure. So and basically taking it step by step, I mean, that's what I've been doing. YouTube University's helped out.
One step at a time.
Yeah, I mean, step by step. I mean, you're going to have bad days and you're going to have good days. And it seems like you're going to have bad days more than good. But again, those days will come into play here in the future when you know already how to do it. So, yeah.
I like that. Well, sweet, Dalton, it's been awesome having you on the show
today. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been good.
Yeah.
I like to get my story out there and, you know, kind of show people that you can do anything, basically. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I started from nothing, put everything up, and here we are today, right?
Yep.
So, and only trying to get bigger.
Well, it is. It's inspiring, and I hope, you know, it's inspiring for people watching or listening. And, you know, again, if you have taken anything away from, you know, the podcast, we definitely appreciate you sharing it with family, friends, and whoever you think benefit from it. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, again, I appreciate you coming on today. And,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully my story was good enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is. And well, we will see you guys on the next episode. And thanks for tuning in.